answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The United States sending U.S. troops to Israel. A U.S. defense official tells CNN that about 100 troops are deploying there to operate one of the United States' most advanced missile defense systems. The Pentagon's announcement comes as Israel faces unprecedented attacks from Iran.
What we're seeing is a massive increase in the number of missiles and drones that Hezbollah is firing into Israel. The first 10 months of this war, they were firing anywhere from 30 to 50 per day. Over the last 3 days, they fired somewhere around 300 per day. This is the best system in the world, and there's only six batteries of these in the United States inventory. So loaning one and deploying a group of soldiers to Israel is a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal, but be cautious where you go with the next step. Let me break it down for you, because it sounds like we're sending boots on the ground into a war zone. Well, Israel is a war zone, but we're not sending them into Lebanon. We're not sending them into any of the strongholds in Gaza. We're not sending them to, certainly to Iran. We're sending them to Israel, which is one of our allies. We're not sending them there to engage directly with the enemy. We already have military posts around the area in the Middle East, and they have been targets of attacks by various terrorists from time to time. We know that. And certainly if we're going to put boots on the ground in Israel to help with these new missile destructive devices, then they're going to be in harm's way. We do have a lot to break down for you. Welcome aboard. Here we are, October 14. And this is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, perchance you miss this day on this program, you can always pull it up as a podcast later. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Rumble at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook, YouTube. No, I'm only joking. We're not YouTube. But if you miss anything, you can always pull it up as a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, News Talk STL podcast platform, and any other podcast platform that has not banned us. And they continue to work at doing that from time to time. By the way, I should probably point out, because maybe some are actually having a holiday, Columbus Day. Did you know that was Columbus Day? Well, there's an issue with that. Before we go deeper in this Israeli situation, depending on where you are, this is either called Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day. Depends on where you live. There have been efforts, of course, to change the holiday from celebrating Christopher Columbus, because after all, he was an Italian, and he was, he was not a good man, and he abducted and took indigenous people and took advantage of them, so we're going to recognize them as well. Well, here comes this piece of information, that now Spanish scientists are saying, using DNA analysis, tackling a centuries-old mystery, the 15th century explorer Christopher Columbus was a Jew from Western Europe. There'd been complete confusion for a time. Was he Greek? Was he Portuguese or British? Now they say after a 22-year investigation, testing tiny samples of remains in Seville Cathedral, long marked as his last resting place, there have been rival claims, but now they're claiming that his Columbus DNA is that he is from Spain and a Jew. Now, the question about being from Spain may still be questionable, but they're saying that he was a Jew. So, wait until the word gets out that George Washington, you got to follow me on this, George Washington is a descendant of Crazy Horse. Oh, no, I know, but that's where we are in this world today, right? So if you have the day off, good for you. Many don't. Many just go about work as scheduled, but of course you have major facilities that decide, oh, yeah, we're going to honor it today. Let's go back to the situation involving Israel and this missile defense system that the Biden administration has decided to send. More on this report from ABC News.
It's a clear signal that the United States is getting more deeply involved in this war than it already was, and it already was extremely involved in this war. But now we're seeing American boots being sent onto the ground, something that I think the vast majority of Americans oppose. In fact, most Americans have wanted to see a ceasefire here, and most Americans want to see the use of weapons shipments to Israel used as leverage to bring this war to an end. And this is clearly the opposite of that, as more weapons are being sent to Israel, and now American troops are being put on the ground to operate them, putting more Americans in harm's way as well to support a war that has claimed tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of lives at this point, continues to expand, goes against American interests. And it's not really clear why the Biden administration continues to double and triple down on everything but actually using leverage to bring this war to an end.
And what leverage would that be? Well, maybe just a phone call. We'll come back to that in a moment. Did you note within his framing and his response, this Iranian-Palestinian expert probably leans more Palestinian? Let me break it down for you again on exactly what we're sending and why troops would be necessary. This is the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, the THAAD battery, as they call it, for missile defense going into Israel. That's because the incessant threats from Iran firing high ballistic missiles into various parts of Israel. So the announcement obviously is welcomed favorably by the Israeli government, obviously getting objections from not only Israel, from Iran, but even communist China, because it's opposed the presence of a THAAD system in neighboring South Korea. Yes, we have them there as well. China state media spent much of the early years of the THAAD deployment in South Korea organizing boycotts against South Korean companies and threatening us for helping Seoul defend its allies in Pyongyang. Well, some reports now indicate state-controlled hackers attempted to break into the THAAD system to undermine the security. I don't think that was ever accomplished. But we have had, since April, Iran has fired a barrage of missiles at Israel, hundreds of cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and drones. Now, THAAD will help the Israeli forces intercept future such attacks. The Pentagon said, and I'm reading straight from their release, this underscores the U.S. ironclad commitment to the defense of Israel and defend Americans in Israel and from any further ballistic missile attacks by Iran. We will be sending troops to operate the system until we train the Israelis on how best to do it. Not specified on how many, but some sources say you'd need at least 94 officers, so around 100 troops will be going to Israel to oversee the use of these weapons. Now, back to the ABC News voice box they had on from a billed as a Palestinian-Iranian expert. He said, we just need to end this, and we could do it if we would have Biden react like Reagan did. Now, he caught my ear when he said Reagan, but then when you listen to him, you begin to see there's an underlying tone.
You know, unlike Ronald Reagan, who in the 1980s picked up the phone, he called the Israeli prime minister and he said, look, this has got to stop now, when Israel was bombing Beirut. And he hung up the phone, and within 20 minutes, the bombing campaign was ordered to end. And Ronald Reagan at the time said, wow, I didn't realize I had that power. The reality is the United States has more leverage over Israel today than ever before. We've got U.S. troops being sent on the ground to help defend this this Israeli war. And, you know, if President Biden wants to, he can bring this to an end at any point. Instead, he is embroiling the United States deeper and in a more dangerous way in a war that has had deadly costs, first and foremost, for Palestinians, but will increasingly have costs for Americans as well.
Yeah, again, I hear in there that we need to stop it because too many Iranians might be a threat. And then also we have too many that are possibly anti-Israel that might be a threat. He is not that specific, but I catch the undertone. Do you? Or is it just me? Maybe I'm reading too much into it. All right, let's focus back here at home for a while. We continue to have efforts underway to help North Carolina and, of course, all those affected by Helene and then Milton. So we're looking at Georgia and everything from Georgia up to North Carolina. Now there have been reports coming out. There have been reports that FEMA has found and gotten word from some of the National Guard troops or FEMA themselves recognized that we've got some militiamen inside these areas that don't want the federal government inside. Now, keep in mind, as you listen to this report, a lot of this is hearsay, but hearsay tends to rule the day.
Certainly a very serious situation that has actually forced FEMA workers out of an abundance of caution to work out of secure locations instead of going door to door to those deeply impacted areas of Western North Carolina to get people the help that they need. This was first reported on by the Washington Post, stating that National Guard troops witnessed armed militia making threats against FEMA workers. Now, of course, we don't know if that threat is credible. We have put out a call to FEMA to try to get more information about that, but we've had two communities that have been impacted by these threats. That's Ashe and Rutherford counties, with the sheriff of Ashe County saying this. He urged residents to, quote, stay calm and steady during our recovery to help folks, and please don't stir the pot. And of course, Kate, this comes amid a backdrop of misinformation that has been circulating about the federal response to Milton and Helene. This has deeply upset many local officials that I've spoken with, not just in North Carolina, but Florida too, because this is taking up the resources that could be used toward recovery. And instead they're online on social media telling people, hey, this is false information. Don't believe this. So this is taking up a lot of their time. Also forcing FEMA to actually open up a section of their website called the Hurricane Rumor Response section to, again, try to bat down all of this misinformation.
Oh my God. So they cannot do a lot of the work they need to be doing to rescue and help people because they've got to go on the web and say a lot of this stuff is misinformation. The misinformation started with FEMA to begin with, and it continues. Oh, and don't forget, Joe Biden has decided to weigh in, saying, I feel your pain, Joe Biden.
And I know from experience how devastating it is to lose your home. Several years ago, my home was struck by lightning. It didn't all burn down, but we were out of the home for 7 months while it was being repaired. The thing I was most concerned about was not just the home, was all those things, all those pictures I saved that my daughter had drawn when she was little, all the family photographs, all the albums, all the things that really matter.
I understand. We mentioned that the other day. It's not just the loss of the property, but things that you can never replace. But Biden has to throw himself into the midst of. These people didn't just have a little fire. They had to leave their house for 7 months. And his was just a kitchen fire, by the way. It's not within 20 minutes. Their homes have been demolished, have been wiped out. And he wants to kind of make a comparison. Oh, I know how you feel. You have no effing idea how these folks feel. And then you got Mayorkas saying, there is no money problem with FEMA. That's another false rumor.
The Speaker of the House says FEMA has plenty of resources, they've been slow to respond, and that FEMA hasn't actually distributed the money. Can you clear that up?
Margaret, FEMA has the money. to address the immediate needs of individuals impacted by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. But we need Congress to act swiftly to fund FEMA and specifically its disaster relief fund, because hurricane season is not over, and also seasons are less and less important now given the effects of climate change and the increasing gravity and frequency of extreme weather events.
You knew he was going to work in climate, energy, and all that. That was one interview with Martha Raddatz on ABC. Martha Raddatz got read back her riots as she tried to go after J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance said, "Will you stop and listen to yourself, woman?"
Swaylen gangs.
Senator Vance, I'm going to stop you because I know exactly what happened. Martha. I'm going to stop you. The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. And I really find this exchange, Martha, sort of interesting, because you seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs. I worry so much more about that problem than anything else here. We've got to get American communities in a safe space again. And unfortunately, when you let people in by the millions, most of whom are unvetted, most of whom you don't know who they really are, you're going to have problems like this. Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border, and now we have the consequences, and we're living with it. We can do so much better, but frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
Okay, let's just end that with they did not invade or take over the city, as Donald Trump said. I want to move on to
just a few
women.
Apartment complexes. No big deal.
A few apartment complexes that the mayor did not seem was invading the entire city.
Oh, my God. And no, if you took Trump at his word, they've invaded the entire city and took over Denver. You're an idiot. They have invaded Denver and they have taken over apartment complexes. As J.D. Vance said, reference these illegals, these Trindagua from Venezuela. They have done that. We know they have. The sheriff said, well, I got everything under control. Right. How about they come into your city? You want them to say the same there? I don't think so. Listen, coming up, I've got a guest that has a new book out on Iran and some of the intrigue and mystique behind Iran. It's worth understanding more about them. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. You know, when you're car shopping, it should be fun, not a chore. That's why when you visit Ackerman Toyota on Hampton, just south of 44, you'll enjoy the largest customer lounge to make you feel at home. You can always check AckermanToyota.com. But come enjoy the Ackerman hospitality. We'll be waiting to help you get what you want and while you're relaxing. Ackerman Toyota, number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is News Talk STL.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is a well-documented investigative journalist, had an op-ed in the New York Post, and has also got a new book out now that I want to get into in more detail with him. And first of all, welcome aboard, Ken Timmerman. Glad to have you with us, sir, again.
Thank you, every meal, Larry. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at your new book, The Iran House, Tales of Revolution, Persecution, War, and Intrigue. I mean, that's quite a big package you got inside that book. Let's get into some of it, and you're looking at undisclosed U.S. government efforts to recruit senior Iran regime leaders. Let's start with that point.
Well, that was an effort that I was involved with. For many years, I was debriefing defectors from Iranian intelligence. I was doing that as a consultant to the families of the September 11th attacks on America. Their lawyers had come to me because I'd written articles about some of these defectors. And as it turns out, one of the defectors that I was working with, a family member of his was a very, very senior member of the Iranian regime in the Revolutionary Guards. And I worked with the FBI for quite some time in an attempt to recruit him. Unfortunately, and this is the story I tell in the book, The Iran House, unfortunately, we had an idiot from the Central Intelligence Agency who got in the way, tried to recruit the guy apparently himself, and the whole thing blew up.
Well, let me ask this before we continue. Let's have a clear understanding. Were you in the way of the CIA, or was the CIA in your way? I mean, was this a sanctioned effort on your behalf to begin with? And I'm not even saying it's sanctioned by the CIA. I'm just trying to understand.
Yes, this was absolutely a sanctioned effort. It was actually being run by the FBI because the family member was here in the United States. So they were talking to a U.S. person at that point and trying to recruit his family member back in Iran. And the agency stepped in the way and stepped in it. By the way, and you'll see this a lot in my book, I have a lot of respect for people in the agency. I know a number of former station chiefs and very senior people. But I found that a lot of them on the ground just get involved in what I call CYA, cover your back.
Oh, yeah. I'll help you with that. Cover your arse. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. yeah.
Now, Ken, again, on part of this, if they were at that time, and again, what was the time frame that they were trying to recruit?
So this particular effort goes to 2002 to 2004.
Okay. Do you think some of that was successful either then or later on, even though that particular plan got botched? Because the question has to be, are there dissidents inside the Iran regime as we speak?
Yes. So that is a whole separate story, and the answer is yes. And I was involved in trying to recruit some of them as well. Again, the reason the FBI came to me was because I was talking to people they could not. I was talking to people the CIA could not talk to, both as a reporter, but also as somebody who's been involved with the pro-freedom movement in Iran. One of my side shows, if you wish, in the mid-90s, I set up a foundation called the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, iran.org, and that also gave me a lot of close contact with people in the opposition, people who were opposed to the regime inside. And so that's why they came to me.
All right. Now, the reason I raise it is because the fact that will give credit to Mossad, the Israeli intel, for either placing the bomb device inside a specific room where they knew the leader of Hamas was going to be staying for a period of time in the palace garden area of Iran. And then we also have an explosive device placed deep in one of their nuclear facility where they're working, said that in a desk that was placed there years before it went off. How much of that involves dissidents and are the Mossad, you think?
Well, let me just say this. The Mossad has shown itself through its actions, the ones that have become public, at least, to be the world's premier intelligence agency. And because of the world's premier intelligence agency, they don't talk about their sources.
Of course not.
They don't talk about who they've got on the ground. And if I knew who they were, I wouldn't be talking about them.
Well, of course not. And I wouldn't want to put anyone in danger. I'm just asking, how closely do you think some of these dissidents would be working with the Mossad?
I think the Mossad just runs rings around any other intelligence agency, including the CIA. I think they are deeply, deeply embedded inside Iran. They are deeply embedded inside the Iranian intelligence services. The latest story that came out just this past week is that the head of the Quds Force, who succeeded Qasem Soleimani, as somebody I talk about a lot in my new book, but the guy who succeeded him, Ismail Haqqani, might have been an Israeli agent. Now, that is an amazing, amazing level of penetration, if it's true.
If it's true. And, of course, they have been able to put X's across the faces of many of these leaders. The Ayatollah pops up briefly and say, we will seek revenge. Iran, Israel will regret the fact that it ever killed anyone on our territory, and of course the Hezbollah leader as well, and then he goes back into hiding.
Yeah, you know, Larry, I understand you're a former U.S. Marine. I was in Beirut.
There is no former Marine. You do know that.
I got that. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for saying that.
Sure.
So I was in Beirut just before the barracks were blown up in October 83, out on the USS Guadalcanal, and then came back a couple of days later. You know, the Iranians have been after us, killing Americans since that time. And they've been actively killing Americans, and we have never gone after them. I am so glad to see that Bibi Netanyahu at least is going after him, but I would love to see the United States join that effort. They have so much American blood on their hands, this regime in Tehran does, and there's so many things that we could do to help the Iranian people, to help them lift the shackles off of them so they could join that effort as well.
All right, let's begin with a couple of what can we do?
Well, I have been writing about this with the America First Policy Institute, where I'm a senior fellow working on Iran.
I'm familiar with them.
One very simple thing, we can revamp our broadcasting into Iran. We have the Voice of America and Radio for Europe stations that go in Farsi into Iran, and they are supporting the regime. They could be supporting the opposition to the regime. They could be supporting the pro-freedom movement. They don't. That's a really simple thing. The other thing that I think gets to the heart of how the regime finances its operations, the next administration, which I hope will be a Republican administration, should reimpose the maximum pressure campaign to keep Iran from that $100 billion windfall they've had over the past 3.5 years.
Simply enforce the embargo that is in place. We're just not enforcing them.
Absolutely right. We are not enforcing the sanctions that exist, the congressional sanctions, as well as the executive branch, but congressional sanctions on Iranian oil exports. We are not enforcing them. $100 billion to the Iranian regime to support terrorism and nuclear weapons.
Well, we've looked at that with Bill Clinton, Obama, Biden, and now you're saying all signs for Harris presidency, she would continue pursuing, let's just make patty cake friends.
She absolutely would. One of the things I talk about both in the book and in the New York Post op-ed today, her national security advisor, a guy named Philip Gordon, he was part of the team that helped to negotiate the Iran deal in 2015, which President Trump, I think, rightly called the worst deal ever negotiated by the United States government with a foreign power. He has been very closely tied, his co-written op-ed pieces, with an Iranian government agent in this country, somebody who's been identified for her communications with the Iranian foreign minister, taking orders from him, which conference should I go to? Should I do this? Should I do that? Her emails have leaked to the public. She is now in the Pentagon with a top secret clearance. Get this, Larry. She's helping to run special operations, SOCOM.
And without obviously divulging anything, it would be top secret. What does that mean she's doing, that she's running?
Well, she is the head of the office of the Assistant Secretary for Special Operations at the Pentagon. She runs the office. So she has access to everything that SOCOM is doing around the world. And she is, as I said, she and Phil Gordon, Kamala Harris's National Security Advisor, somebody who's been touted as a potential Secretary of State should Kamala Harris win the election. These two are in bed with the Iranian regime. So it's going to be more of
Then maybe Harris and she need to start wearing headscarves and cover their face so they're in full compliance with Sharia law.
Well, they might do that if she winds up going to Iran. In fact, I would expect her to do that.
You know what? I would laugh, but then again, it's too serious to laugh. Ken, I want to thank you for your time. Again, the book is, I assume, is out and available now, right?
Yes, it is. It's just out. It's the number one in books on Iran history, and it's a new release at Amazon.
The Iran House, Tales of Revolution, Persecution, War, and Intrigue. Investigative journalist Ken Timmerman, as always, I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. We'll do it again. I do appreciate it. Well, coming up, there's still more to be looked at on what we're doing for this nation, and I say for this nation, especially with the election coming up. And there's some new polls you need to pay attention to. Doesn't mean this is going to be definitive answers, but we're going to break them down for you. One of them we'll begin with comes directly out of NBC. You don't want to miss any of this. Plus, the cackling VP Harris.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most 5-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
This is News Talk STL.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The big headline, this is a national head-to-head poll, is that Vice President Kamala Harris had a 5-point lead in our last poll taken a month ago, right after the debate. That lead has all but evaporated, Willie. Take a look at this new head-to-head matchup, 48% to 48%. That is what we call a deadlocked race. It underscores what we all know, that this is tight, that the country is sharply divided. One of the other big headlines here, people are viewing the Trump presidency more favorably than the Biden presidency. Why is that significant? We've seen the vice president get pressed repeatedly on what she would do differently than President Biden, and she's really struggled with that answer.
Yeah, she is struggling, and she continues to struggle. Now, that is an NBC poll you were listening to. As we're talking about how tight has it gotten when he had a 10-point deficit, basically, and now they're tied. He goes up 5, she drops 5. Again, that's NBC. Kristen Welker reporting on that poll on NBC. 5-point swing to Trump over the last month. Why is that so? Well, it's not the only poll doing that. An ABC Ipsos poll of likely voters found Harris up 50% to Trump 48%. That's down from a 6-point lead Harris had last month. A CBS YouGov poll of likely voters showed Harris up 51 to 48%, but that's still a 4-point drop that she had in September. And you just heard the NBC poll. Now, national polls, according to this piece written by, I think, Reuters, shows Harris looked like she's pulling away from Trump in several national polls, but all three now show a neck-and-neck tie. And there's some other things going on behind the scenes, by the way. For one, a Washington Post columnist is warning abortion, which made the midterm big for the Democrats, is not a top issue in Michigan. And that is considered a bellwether by many because Michigan enshrined abortion rights into its constitution. Well, voters are apparently not as animated by the issue at this point, according to a columnist looking at it and evaluating it. Yeah, they were all about it right after Roe v. Wade, but now it's a yawner for many of them. It is one of the issues in front of you on the Missouri ballot. That's why we push vote no on Amendment 3 to the Constitution, because they're trying to, they have it under the guise of protect freedom of women's rights and things of this nature. It would basically destroy unborn women or women on the verge of being born even, right up until the moment of birth. I'm not sure abortion is going to be as big of an issue as they thought it was. And then also from inside the White House, Axios is reporting Harris aides are extremely, as they use the term, frustrated with Biden over the last few weeks. Why? He got out of the way. He gave her the keys to the chamber and everything else, but he's still hanging around. He is still commander-in-chief. So the title for the report is, tensions allegedly rise between Biden White House and Harris campaign, too much in their feelings. It has nothing to do with facts. It's the fact that not facts, but the issue that you're stepping on my feelings, I'm hurt. And then don't forget how Trump had originally played to black Americans in 2016. I'm not going to say African Americans. These are black Americans. He said, why not vote for me? What do you got to lose? Look at what the Democrat Party has done for you all these years. Nothing. What do you got to lose? Well, he picked up a large percent of black votes. Another survey coming out showing once again, Trump is gaining in the black community.
I mean, the bottom line is this. At this particular hour, if you believe the polling, Donald Trump's going to put up the best performance with black voters since Richard Nixon back in 1960. Not 68, since 1960. That's 64 years ago. Among Hispanic voters, Donald Trump's going to put up the best performance for Republicans since 2004 and George W. Bush.
Now, those words are coming from a CNN senior political data reporter, Harry Enten. Trump is going to put up the best performance with black voters in 64 years. That's going to be pretty amazing. And then you also have a question raised by CNN referring to Congresswoman Debbie Dingbat. Oh, I did it again. My bad. Debbie Dingell saying that she's hearing from black men that too many of them take us for granted, and she's asking, the CNN moderator is asking Congressman James Clyburn, do you hear that? What do you think? He's not too sure. And he did get asked the question, and it hit him in the face like you take a 10 and say, I'm waving this 10 in front of your face.
You just heard Donald Trump making his appeal to black men quite explicit. Your friend, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, who you campaigned with in Michigan, says that the message she's hearing from black men is, quote, Democrats take us for granted. Donald Trump talks to us directly. Are you concerned about black men voting for Trump or staying home?
Well, thank you very much for having me. Yes, I am concerned about black men staying home or voting for Trump.
And staying home or voting for Trump, you darn right should be concerned. Why do you think Barack Obama came out the other day and decided to lecture black men? You need to be in there. You need to be in the fight. You need to be voting for Kamala. What black man wants to sit there and have another man, black, white, yellow, red, tell him, you have to do this? I think that's going to blow back in their face. And then we're also seeing Republican voters, they don't like Trump, many of them. Yes, they're Republican voters, they don't like him. They've had enough of him, they don't like his mean tweets, but they like the lower gas prices, they like the lower food prices, they like everything that he performed for them, they just didn't like him doing his tweet machine thing. And they are finding in one of the newer surveys, again, this one coming out and saying, basically, this is NBC again, we're seeing these folks come together behind Trump.
You are seeing coalescence amongst Republican voters. And I think that the self-identified block of Republicans who are, quote, non-MAGA is definitely decreasing. I think there's a few reasons for that. First of all, I do think that there is a recognition amongst the issue that Republicans care most about, which is immigration. Mm. And if you look at this poll, every poll that we see, it is immigration. There's a lot of contrast on that issue. And I think Trump has successfully driven contrast on that issue. And those voters are coming home because of immigration. I would also say that there's a positive view, I mean, to your point, about his administration's policies on the other issue they care about, which is cost of living. And so that contrast on issues is quite significant. That is coalescing Republicans. And I think that is the single reason why his numbers have improved significantly over these last several weeks.
And I would say it's not just Republican, conservative, even independent, but also Democrat voters are saying, look, I don't like the guy, but I like what he did for the country. And that's where we come down to the point, do you love this country? Are you a patriot? Do what's best for the country. And of course, then we had this scam thing put up the other day. I say a scam. It was meant to be a 90-second video commercial, caught a lot of attention about why men are voting for Kamala. I'm talking about, we're still men. We're still men. Full man. I'm a man. I can eat a carburetor. I'm not going to bother playing the whole thing, but they're saying we're man enough to support Harris. We're man enough. Now, this ad was not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, according to a disclaimer in the 90-second video, but it features as an official campaign ad. Six manly men who claim they're so masculine they eat carburetors for breakfast, aren't afraid of bears, but they're all paid actors. They were all paid actors. That's not really a surprise, but some of the stuff that says, like one says, I like going to the gym. I can deadlift 500. Then I can braid my daughter's hair. They thought that was going to appeal to more men. It's laughable. And I wonder when they first showed it to Harris, if she thought it's funny. And then they see the backlash and said, I want nothing to do with it. Again, it wasn't paid for, apparently, by either committee. But you know what they are trying to push now? Kamala Harris is even out saying, where's Trump? Where's Trump? No one can find Trump. She's suggesting he's in hiding. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I'm honored to tell you that the Cafe Napoli family is growing. That means you're going to have more locations to enjoy the Napoli experience. The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. So you have Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2, Town and Country, Napoli 3, St. Charles, right next door, Napoli C, and don't forget Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley. Plus soon, Napoli Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. Why does his staff want him to hide away? One must question. Are they afraid that people will see that he is too weak and unstable to lead America? Is that what's going on?
Can you imagine the audacity of that woman who will not even show up normally, certainly won't sit down for full interviews, not serious interviews, and she'd been missing all this time. Trump was in three different campaign locations over the last 5 days. He's been out in the front, continues to be in front, and now she's like, he's in hiding. Open your eyes, he's not in hiding. And we're supposed to buy it? Do you think the people in her audience had not seen him on the campaign trail on video or TV or something? And yet many of them are buying into it. Seriously? Those are uninformed voters. I do not want them to vote, but they may well. And then she wants to bring up Trump's not really even fit to be president.
So today I released my medical records, as has, I believe, every candidate for president of the United States except Donald Trump in this election cycle. And it's just a further example of his lack of transparency. That on top of his unwillingness to debate again, his unwillingness to do an interview with 60 Minutes, which again is part of the norm of what anyone running for president of the United States does. And I think that it's obvious that his team, at least, does not want the American people to see everything about who he is. And you put that on top of even the most recent reports of General Milley, one of the people who worked the closest with Donald Trump, referring to him as being unstable. And it is clear to me that he and his team do not want the American people to really see what it is that he is doing and whether or not he actually is fit to do the job of being president of the United States.
Well, I question if you're fit, but you've never questioned if Biden was fit, have you? You lived and worked with the man for 4 years, and you went along with he was going absolutely senile, dementia, and for that I'm sorry. But you hid that, and you wanted dared, and you were standing by him still running for president till you saw a chance that you could slip in. This issue about Trump's health, Maria Bartiromo brought that up with Trump at one point, saying that on the cholesterol issue that now some have been trying to push and say that that's an issue for him to be worried about, and that he's unfit. Do you really think that's true, as Maria Bartiromo brings that point up?
He said this will be the last election if Donald Trump doesn't win. He's very worried about freedom of speech, censorship. Yeah. Is there anything you can do about that?
Well, I think that we just have to win. The only thing you can do is to win. No, these are bad people, and they're surrounded by very bad people. I think they're surrounded by much worse people than they are. Joe didn't really know too much about where he was, and Kamala's worse than him. Joe is much more competent than her.
Absolutely more competent. Then the point is, who's that concerned about Trump's cholesterol with everything else going on in the world right now? Really? They don't ask that of the editors, do they? No, they don't. And then we had, over the weekend, Kamala Harris going into a black church and doing everything she can to stir them up. And you know what? There are a lot of black churches that I know and I've been in and have friends that go to them. They might politely welcome her in because that's the Christian thing to do, but they don't accept what she has to say.
Because what we see is so hard to see that we lose faith
or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
Joy cometh in the morning.
Joy does cometh in the morning. That is true. That's even in the Bible to that extent. But that first piece of word salad, we're going to lose visions of what we see, what we cannot see. That vision will be gone. We won't be, but I can't even begin to rehearse and go back over that again. I'm wasting your time and our time here. By the way, Americans, especially pro-immigration liberals, are severely underestimating the huge flow of migrants into the U.S. This is a new survey out. We'll take a look at that and illegals affecting our nation. You don't want to miss any of it. And remember our pledge, directly from our pledge, one nation under God.